Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. I would invite you this evening to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This past week, I got to be in Blue Springs, and in putting together those lessons, our theme was Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, specifically verse number 8, where Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." God has asked the question, who will I send, or who will go for us? And I said, "Here am I, send me." And so we talked about evangelism, which, as you know, I enjoy talking about. I love evangelism. We've had a lot of lessons on evangelism. The thing that, in putting together those lessons and looking at that theme of "Here am I, send me," one of those that we looked at was send us. Because what we have to see and understand is that never do we see within Scripture where God leaves anybody alone by themselves. We always have help. We think about places where perhaps I stumble. We look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. If somebody is overcome, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. That we get to help bear each other's burdens. Never. We think about the church. At all times, we have somebody to be able to lean on. And when I think about Hebrews 11. I love the book of Hebrews, period. But I love chapter 11 and I love chapter 12, where it picks up. Notice in verse number 1. Therefore, so you think about Hebrews 11 and that great hall of fame of faith. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you see "we" and "us" over and over and over again? Now, I have a responsibility. Don't misunderstand me. I have a responsibility to live this life according to God's will and according to His commands. But over and over again throughout the Scripture, just the Hebrew writer says here, us, we're not alone. We have one another to help us, to get us through those things. So we lay aside those sins that easily ensnare us. And we run with endurance the race set before us. Notice verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Notice who He is. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down because He finished His work. Because the last thing that He said in His dying breath, "It is finished." Everything, not just His life here, but everything that God sent Him to do, everything that He was to complete, He did. And He accomplished. And He did it because He loves us that much. So tonight I want us to think about we and us. The fact that we are not alone in these things. Last weekend, about a week and a half ago, I get a call from Kendall. And the place that we go hog hunting at every February had a cancellation. He called me and he said, "Hey, I know it's short notice, but you want to go?" Boy, instantly I'm like, "Yeah, I want to go, duh. I want to go." But then I'm like, "Well, Saturday, I'll be back in time to go to Blue Springs that evening. I can make that back." And my wife said, "You know you got a track meet Thursday, right?" Well, I shot that, didn't it? I got a track meet. I'm excited about track. I love track. You guys think I'm loud here. Come to a track meet sometime. You can hear me anywhere. Promise. I love to yell. And I joke that you guys, they pay me to yell at kids, right? It's not really at them. It is for them. The kids that run track, the kids that run cross country, they know me. Use your arms, right? Get your arms out. I want their form to be good. I want it to be right. Because I want them to do their best and be able to run at their best at all times. You know that this is what God is saying, right? That you have one another. You have each other to lean on. And notice, go back to verse 1 for just a second. And I love this because it doesn't single people out, okay? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So I don't bring along anything. You don't bring along anything. We can help each other, talk each other through those things. This past week, looking at evangelism and thinking about our responsibility. Anybody intimidated to pull up to somebody's house, knock on their door, and talk to them about Jesus? You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to think about this for just a second. Anybody nervous about it? I've told you before, call me. I'll go with you. You know why? Because there's safety in numbers. We feel more confident, more comfortable when we have safety in numbers. Here's the other thing we can do, okay? Here's the other thing we can do. I'm going to pick on you for just a second, okay? You got somebody that you want to go share the gospel with, and you're just trying to figure out how to get this down of what you'd like to say. You know the person well. You know who they are. You know how they're going to respond or how you hope that they are going to respond, and so you're rehearsing those things to get that done. You know what makes this so easy? You can pull to my house. You can pretend I'm them. Hey man, it's great to see you. I'm here to talk to you about your soul, about your salvation, because I love you and I want you to go to heaven. You understand we can do that with each other, right? But you can pull up at my house anytime, and I know that there are many of you I can pull up at your house and I can talk to you. I can rehearse this. You understand? He says we and us, right? That we're not in this alone. We're not by ourselves. He says we and us, so that we can do this together. We can practice on one another. We don't have to just try to get this down and then cold call. It's not like that. We are not some salesman trying to cold call on people. We are ambassadors of Christ. We've looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 multiple times. We are beggars. We are pleaders, getting people to be right with God. And you know what? We don't have to do it ourselves. We can go out with one another. We can practice on one another. We can have those conversations to be able to draw us closer. Pull up to my house anytime. I got a big chocolate lab. I promise I'll put him away. Okay? I promise. Finn will not kill you. He will not eat you. He will intimidate you because he will bark at you. But I will get him and he'll go inside and everything will be fine. Pull up at the house. Pull up to somebody's house. That's all you got to do. And you know, we can talk through those things until you're comfortable. If you still want to go by yourself, I'll go with you. I won't say a word. I'll just be there for support. But we can do this together. Every time he says we and us. And you know who the greatest one that we have is that's on our side? The one that went to the cross that he just talked about. We have Jesus who's on our side. He went to the cross. The joy set before him is when people obey the gospel and don't allow that sacrifice to have been made in vain. We can go to heaven together. We can work together. We can live together. We can strive together. It's we and it's us. One of my favorite events, my track kids know this, are relays. I love relays. We don't have enough to be able to do it right now this year. We're getting there. Don't worry. One of my favorite ones is the thrower's relay. You know why? Because those kids don't run. They don't run. They throw. They're the field events. And they do such a great job. I'm going to pick on Caden for just a second. We do a mock track meet within the first week of practice because I want runners to know what throwers go through. And I want throwers to know what those runners are going through. Not that they don't, because they run, but not all runners throw. You know who won the 100 and 200 meter dash for the throwers? That kid in the yellow shirt right there. Now, he may not have the best form, but he has the biggest heart, and he's going to try. And he's going to outrun you. Somebody was starting to catch him, and I could see it in his eyes, like, oh, man, nope, just... He kept on going, and he got there. I love relays because those kids that throw, they have to, those throwers relays, they come out and you have to have two boys and two girls. You know my favorite part about relays? Nobody wants to let their teammates down. These kids haven't practiced relays at all, and they run them with a banana, and it's frozen when it starts, and it's mush when it finishes. But if you want to win that race, not only do you have to cross the finish line, you've got to eat that banana. First time, it's hilarious, because nobody knows what's about to happen, and I picked that fourth kid. And it's to pick on that kid, but it's also because I know that that kid is going to suck it up and do it, okay? So they hand off that banana, and kids are squeezing that banana, and it's nasty. True? Okay, so by the time we get done, it's gross. And then some kids, like, they're really into it. They'll eat the peel and all. Ugh, it's awful. But they don't want to let their teammate down. I love relays, period, because what you watch is these runners do not want to let their teammates down. They're going to hand off that baton, and they're going to make sure that they have gotten from point A to point B to hand that off as fast as they can. And I'm yelling at them, get your arms out, stride out, getting that form down. Helping them to understand, if I can get this down, I'll go faster. I tell these girls with long legs and kids with long legs, Riston, long-legged, right? Tall, long-legged. Where do you run? Drives me nuts. You got long legs? Use them. I take a longer stride than he does. And I say it's something. I'm this tall, right? I want them to succeed. I want them to understand that we're here to help. Not to make their life harder. Not to yell at them. All I want for them is to succeed. I want the best for them. You know why Jesus went to the cross? You know why Hebrews has a Hebrews chapter 11? Because it's showing us this is the form that you're going to run that race in. You're going to do so with action and with faith. And you've got to focus. You've got a finish line. And it's Jesus. It's heaven. We can run with endurance. Why? Because we know the one that went there for us. Everything about it tells us that he's the mediator. Better. Everything's better. But he's that mediator. He's the better high priest. He made the better sacrifice. Everything about him is the absolute best. And so what he wants for us is the absolute best. We can do it. We don't have to do it alone. That's my favorite part. Is we don't have to do it alone. We can run together. 1 Kings chapter 18. You can turn there. 1 Kings chapter 18. Starts out, Elijah is going to Ahab. And the whole point, the whole purpose is to get him to be right. Ahab, he likes to worship the Baals and the Ashtaroths. And so, beginning in verse number 20, we have an account that we're all very familiar with. We have Elijah on Mount Carmel. 450 prophets of Baal, one man of God. But you know who's on his side? God. God's on his side. 450 prophets of Baal. They're going to dance around in the sun. They're going to cut themselves. Elijah, this is God's sense of humor, I believe, at times. He is going to tell them, hey, maybe he's asleep, yell out. Maybe he's on a journey, and so you got to keep yelling and screaming. Does Elijah know he's never showing up? Yeah, absolutely he knows he's never showing up. Absolutely he knows. But he knows who is going to show up. And so he tells them, here's the altar. We're going to put he cuts up the offering to place upon it. He digs a trench around it. He fills it and pours the water over the top of it multiple times. And think about this. He calls out to God about the time of the evening sacrifice. He prays to God. God rains down fire, sends down fire from heaven. Anybody ever watch a dog drink? That tongue comes out. T-Roy that I stayed with this week has a huge German Shepherd. She has the longest tongue I think I've ever seen. She tried more than once to eat me, but she drank water. You know that water went everywhere? All over the place. I want you to picture this. Rain down fire from heaven. That fire, not only is it going to consume all of the sacrifice, it's also going to consume the altar. So here goes the rocks. Everything is gone. Go to verse 37. 1 Kings 18, 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What does he want?
Repentance.
That's what he wants. He wants repentance. It's the theme from Genesis 3 to Revelation 22. That's the theme, repentance. That's what he wants. And this is what Elijah cries out to him. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And fire fell. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench like a dog drinking water. It laps it up. Water's supposed to be like gasoline on a flame? I'm supposed to quench it, put it out. He says, you're my lunch, you're my bread. It licked it up out of the trench. Everything's gone. From even that top coat, the dust, all of it gone. And here comes Jezebel, and Elijah runs. He's scared. Chapter 19, we find him in a cave. And there's this still small voice that calls out to him. And he walks out, puts his mantle on, walks out of the cave, and he says, here I am. And God begins to speak to him, and we know Elijah here at this point has a pity party. I'm all by myself. I'm alone. They seek to kill me. God tells him, there's 7,000. 7,000. How big is David? 200. Give or take. 7,000 haven't bowed the knee. 7,000 who have not kissed the Baals and Asherahs, who have dedicated themselves to serving God. 7,000. You're not alone. Just go. And he gets him busy, right? We talked about that this morning in our Bible class. Every time that in John 21, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Get busy. Get to work. This is what our faith looks like. And the greatest part is we don't want to let each other down, right? When Kendall called me last week, see if I wanted to go. I told him I wasn't going to be able to go. He said, I had a guy that was going to buy a pig from me. Would you like to buy it? Sure. Love to. So I went Saturday about noon. I met him at Brahms. Caleb. Caleb is a Kendall's son. Caleb is a Brahms fanatic. Okay? He found out there are two Brahms in Ada, which is just north of where we go. It's the biggest town close to where we go to hunt. There are two Brahms there. I think he hits them both on his way through to get something to eat. And he hits this one every time he's coming back through because he's not going to miss a Brahms. So that's where I meet them. Hunter comes over. Caleb's son, who's a first-year student at the Bible Institute. And we begin to, I'm sitting with Kendall and Tammy and Hunter, and we're talking while the rest of them are getting there. And Kendall said, I had a guy that called me the other day. He's a fellow preacher. And he said, you know, there are things that we get to learn from each other. He said, can you guess what I might talk about that you talk about? And I said, bonus time. He said, absolutely. Every time I have a gospel meeting, every time we're going to have a gospel meeting, I tell people, I want to tell you what Corey Orr calls this. He calls this bonus time. I love bonus time. Because we get to spend time with brethren, whether that's, he talks about the brethren at Franklin County or the brethren wherever I'm preaching that gospel meeting at. This past week we got to have bonus time at Blue Springs, but we got to be around brethren. We look for those opportunities to be able to be around one another. And he said, tell me something that you've learned from me. And there's a lot of things I've learned from him. But one of those things that I think about the most is Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He said, in order for me to memorize their names, I called them the Asbestos Brothers because they're fireproof. He said, help me. Well, I can't get that out of my head now. Okay, so maybe it'll be stuck in your head too now. The Asbestos Brothers. Because they're fireproof. He said, you know what I've learned the most, Corey? I love our brethren. I love our brethren because what we get to do is we get to be there for one another. We get to help one another grow, even in the most difficult of circumstances. James tells us that we should confess our sins one to another. Why is that important? How am I going to lay off that weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, and how's it going to be an us thing if I keep it to myself? Well, it's not. It's going to be a me thing. I don't read where it's supposed to be a me thing. All of these things are always a we and an us. Always. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he talks about the fact that we have one body with many members. And because we are one body, all of us make up one. We can't be one, we can't be united if we won't talk about things and help each other through things. Let us, we, be there for one another. Why? Because we want to spend eternity together. We want to help each other spend eternity in heaven. Oftentimes it seems that we are reluctant to share anything or to say anything. You guys know me. I'm an open book. I'll tell you whatever. I'll tell you about struggles that I've had. I've told you about times that I've fallen away, habits that I have had for 20 years that were awful, disgusting habits. And I will be more than happy to tell you about those things, and I'm always more than happy to tell you about those things because perhaps it's something you struggle with, and I can help you because I want to. Well, we've got to be there for each other. I love the fact that the men that teach Bible classes and stand up and preach, they're not afraid or ashamed to tell you of shortcomings that they have. Why? Because those are things that used to weigh us down and ensnare us, and they don't anymore. But they're things that a lot of times may be right there on the cusp of it. And all we need to do is reach out. Maybe there's somebody we need to talk to, and all we need to do is on each other's door. Work things through. Talk things through. Be there for one another. We have before us a race that we run, but we look at all of these people that have done the same thing, that have lived a life faithful to God that He talks about. This isn't some story handed down generation to generation. He's the one who talks about these people, that tells us all about how they overcame, what their faith demonstration looked like, what the action of their life looked like. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently, there's the effort, seek Him. So that's my job. That's my responsibility. And in verse number 7, do you see who the first one he talks about is? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of
things yet to come. He things not seen. He'd never seen the things that he was going to deal with, the things that were about to happen. When we talk about the flood a lot of times like it's some happy rainbow story, that's the most terrifying story that we have in Scripture. Can you imagine standing here and the earth just suddenly breaking apart and the waters start underneath of you and then come down above you? I don't want to have it be that way. This quarter I get to teach Revelation. And we talk about Christians who are persecuted and Christians who lose not only their stuff, but their lives. But that they're not alone. We read about Christians who need to work on things. But you know what? When Jesus wrote that, he calls out the congregation. All of them need to get their life right. All of them need to get right before God. They're not alone. We're not alone. We need to make sure that we rely on one another and we help each other, that we're there for one another. Tonight I want you to think about you for just a moment. You're not alone. You have a building full of people who desire the absolute best for you. And maybe tonight you need to become a child of God. And join His family, His church, the body of Christ. You can do so this evening. You can believe in Him, confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism, be baptized into Christ, and His blood washes away your sin. You rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. Or maybe tonight, as a child of God, you have felt like you're stranded on an island by yourself, and that's just up to you. And maybe you feel like you're the one out there that's just trying to tread water and you're drowning. You're not by yourself. You don't have to go through this alone. We are right here to help you in any way that we can. And tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.